Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Harmony Hall, and welcome in particular to Healing from Harmony Hall, which is the name of this show, and it's a huge treat to have you here. I've got Bernadette Phillips here, and your company is New Insights for Change.
Yes, that's right, yes.
And you're based down...
Based down in Waterford.
In Waterford, brilliant.
Yeah, Waterford in Ireland. Yeah, New Insights for Change. In 2008, which seems to be the year now, we all talk about the economic shift and downturn.
Yes.
We were in London, and I remember it came across over the radio that Lehman Brothers had fallen, the big American bank. And I remember thinking instantly that this was it. This was the start of the major shift.
Yes.
And that we needed new insights for change.
Absolutely.
Which is
where
this particular business that I have or work that I do sort of formed itself.
Yes, it is interesting. I don't know much about the banks except for some have been bailed out and some have fallen by the wayside. So
yes.
did you feel that was particularly... That level of kind of catastrophe that a bank had been allowed to fall, to really crash and burn, to allow something like a phoenix from the flames to come out of it? Or
well, I mean, it hasn't emerged like that.
No. Pity.
Sadly, 6 years on, 7 years on, it hasn't emerged like that at all. And sort of it appeared, yes, my goodness, is this really part of this new paradigm? But in looking at it in reflection, how the banking crisis has been dealt with, and I suppose I can talk about here in Ireland and the bailouts that have happened, but also across Europe and beyond, America has maybe had a slightly different way of approaching it.
Yes.
But certainly we didn't learn the lessons from letting that happen across Europe.
Because we were just in, before we started here now, we were thinking about that there could be a plan, and there maybe should have been a plan. Is that something that's come to you? What can happen?
Yes. I suppose if you take it back to what was conscious and unconscious, which is what I talk about all the time, and sadly, it wasn't a conscious approach to how we would create or do things differently around our financial systems. And we have had an amazing opportunity for to do that, and leaders in the world have had a major opportunity, but it certainly didn't come that in the main, that the decisions that have been made haven't been made from an intuitive place by those in positions of leadership, government-wise, at all. And sadly, the fallout because of that has been tremendous to everyday lives of people on a massive scale.
Absolutely.
You know, on a major scale.
Yes.
So it wasn't an intuitive awareness that have, really, it was quite the opposite. And so it was very unconscious in approach, in one respect, or it was very focused on how we might support the few, you know, with banking, the banks must be protected above all else.
Yes.
And so it had absolutely nothing to do with conscious living.
No.
And we're experiencing the fallout.
Yes. It's interesting, this idea of whether we need a new group of people that are conscious, or whether we need to support people who are already maybe financially successful and so wield a lot of influence, or in government, wield a lot of family familiarity and power that way. Whether you feel that the idea should be almost like a revolution where old kind of characters that are stuck in an embedded plan of attack that hasn't worked so far get out of the way and others take over, or whether, I mean, for example, I know that in a few days' time there is a World Climate Summit.
Yes.
And it occurred to me, wouldn't it be amazing to find out who's attending that, tune in, and see if we could release some of the old paradigm rigidity of yes. their usual thought patterns so yes. they could do something good
yes.
as is. I mean,
yes, so, I mean, I'm a great believer that working for something rather than against something, and I think that we've had equally an approach as a people where we've been very willing to, you know, go against and not support
yes.
the people that are in positions of power as well. And I think, you know, we've got to be looking at that maybe from both sides. I can see, of course, when catastrophe hits, I mean, the first thing is we've got to go out there and blame people, you know, this mindset. And it's a very low energy mindset.
Isn't it?
And it's a fear-based mindset.
Yes.
So if we've got two sets of people, i.e. the leaders and then people that it's impact their decisions are impacting on, both coming from a fear-based place.
Oh, yes.
We have a problem.
Houston, we have a problem.
<You know? laughs> So I believe that it's about working for something. And I do believe that in a sense that, you know, it would be very easy to whitewash every leader that's out there, you know, in government-wise or across Europe, across the world. It would be very easy to do that.
Yes.
And there are times, you know, that I have to breathe into what people are doing. But the other side is that I do believe there are really, really decent people
yes.
caught in the middle of all of this. And I know because I've met them through clients of mine, and particularly people who have come through from the financial world, who want to be part of creating a new paradigm and want to be part of creating a new conscious way of how we do life and how we do business, how we do politics.
Yes.
But don't know where to go,
yes.
you know, and are kind of find themselves very much on a hamster wheel situation and not sure how to get off this.
Yes.
So I do believe it's about building a new way. It is about building a parallel alongside it. And so we're working for something in a very conscious way. And I think it gives then an opportunity for people who are caught up in the old way. There's a choice there now, okay? You can step across into this new way of living and
yes.
being. And I think that's a much gentler way, and I think it's a greater sense of compassion in coming across that way, because it's like anything, if people sort of feel that everyone's out to blame them, then they will do what the human does and back
down
into a corner
hatches.
And either that... circle the wagons, or they will, which you're
heading out west now.
You're heading out west, or they will come out all guns blazing, fighting with any power they have.
Yes.
And of course, the danger is that it's a huge abuse and misuse of power when it comes from that place
yes.
of fear in people. So I think we have an opportunity.
Yes.
Coming together, I think it's very important that we get in there and are part of
yes.
creating the change, and that we're not constantly bemoaning the state and the fate of things. Because
yes.
again, I think that's very easy to do that.
Well, that
yeah.
is very, very true. And I think it is interesting to try and encourage people to pivot their experience from one of blame, of externalizing everything that is happening, and then from people who have an apparently powerful position,
mm.
who, as you've just been saying, don't feel that powerful either.
No.
They also have their fear,
sure.
fear of exposure, fear of being deposed in
yes.
or dismissed or however it's taking shape.
Mm.
And how we can bring love into that? I mean, is that what you're doing?
Well, yes, I suppose it is, isn't it, in essence? And I believe that love is everything.
Yes.
And all things. And I also believe that within every person, there isn't just a major negative, you know.
Yes.
There
yes.
isn't just a major bad way of being. That there is another side. And it's supporting people to bring that side of them out.
Yes. It's that journey.
And to love people. And that, in essence, is it. That we could reach across to one another with that love and compassion and listen to one another. And I suppose if anything around leadership, that we often even find politicians among themselves or, you know, people within positions of power, they don't seem to be listening
no.
to one another
no,
or to anybody else.
Yes.
And
that's a fear-based dynamic as well,
huge.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Because I was thinking about it the other day, this idea, that you should allow new information to change your mind. But yes. The problem is, if people aren't listening, it's partly because they're afraid of what they might hear,
mm-hmm.
and so they're sticking to their guns even more.
Even more. Even more. They're sort of really rooting themselves in the old way, because that's the safe way to them, you know? And I mean, even if something isn't good, and I mean, I think we have it as individual human beings, that we often stick with something, even though it's not great for us, because we know it.
Yes, absolutely.
It's familiar.
Yes.
And, you know, we find that across all walks of life and how we live life every day. And so it does take courage to step outside of what we're familiar with and take a new journey, take a new way. But that starts in steps. And it really starts within, of course, because change starts within. And I suppose that's it, you know, to try and change my outer world without changing my inner self and world.
Yeah,
just doesn't work. No. It's completely a non-starter. So there's amazing conversations to be had, and it is, and I talk about mindful dialogue and going into businesses and companies and taking this into politics, into education institutes as well, of mindful dialogue, you know, how we would have conversations mindfully.
Thinking some things are better left unsaid. And if this ship is sinking, we should be somewhere else instead. What's the use in lying if it's so hard for you to say? No point in denying, but it seems we've lost our way. I'm sorry that this journey has to end. But you'll always be a part of who I am. Who I am. Not as bad as it may seem. We're hoping and we're praying we can return to where we've been. What's the use ignoring the storm out on this sea? Winds of change are blowing, dividing you and me. I'm sorry that sails have tumbled down, but I think it's time to turn this boat around so we can be found. Tomorrow may bring, let the light of a new world shine upon us. As we go, we'll take it day by day. Look all around, see the lights of a new world shining bright to guide us thinking. Some things are better left unsaid. But if this ship is sinking, we should be somewhere else instead. Somewhere else instead.
Well, I was going to just ask you, what you've found so far generates that, because two things come to mind. A lot of people I've met come and start taking that journey, embark on that journey of self-understanding and changing their inner reality due to a crisis,
yes,
or stress, rather than, say, courage.
Sure.
Yeah, so it does take courage,
yes,
but often what instigates it is a crisis.
Yes.
So it's an interesting process to try and lead people to a more conscious journey without, but I suppose there's plenty of crisis, so we're not short of a crisis to generate.
It's like life all the time, and we sort of sit here, and somehow in our smugness, in our naivety too, we think that everything's certain, you know. And of course, life is a whole series of uncertainties.
Mm. Yeah.
because what happens in the next moment and the next moment, you know, we can look at the potential of things, which is quite different, and I do that when I read for people, but, you know, as an intuitive reader. But the other side is that everything is quite uncertain because it's constantly changing.
Yes.
And our conversation, you know, here, we, on a physical sense, will have somehow changed at the end of this. And we know after 7 years we'll be totally changed with this.
I'm going to be just like a fluid,
yeah,
ambient.
And so it can support this new paradigm to about how we live more happily,
yes,
with uncertainty.
Yes, going to get comfortable with that.
Yeah, with that with that shift and constant change. And therefore what we're creating is quite a lot of abundance on the journey, really, in many respects, and abundance comes in many forms, but it creates a different kind of energy because it's working at a different vibrational level.
It really is, and one way that I think that you were putting it earlier is this idea of creating more value. So as you work with people, so you're expanding, as you say, in abundance in their business, in their relationships, in their hope for the future. Imagine,
yes,
with readings you're giving people a sense that there is something to come. Yeah.
Well, there is the potential of people, and you can see it, and okay, certain things come in which, okay, I always say, gosh, we know what we didn't know.
Yes.
You know? And that's the
lovely thing. But it's all in there.
But it's all there.
Yes.
And everybody has that amazing gift, by the way, of the intuitive, but it just isn't turned up. And when we...
or turned on sometimes.
Or turned on.
Yeah.
And when we do that, then we become interesting observers of life, I suppose, in many ways, you know, and that we're excited by that.
Mm.
And the excitement of that, gosh, what's next? Even this uncertainty, what's next? What is there?
Mm.
And so you're constantly discovering. And in a life, it's a process of rediscovering who we are in,
yes,
that sense. But when we talk about this and taking it, you know, further out into business, taking it into politics, we then take that conscious awareness, you know, and what we're creating within those spaces and places and events and policies and you know,
mm,
I come from a social science background, you know,
yes,
in what,
brilliant,
I do. So the sociological take on society is interesting for me. But I love this whole essence of what we call a sociological imagination.
Yes. Oh, yeah, the
so,
visioning work.
Yeah, beyond my,
yes,
frame of reference, beyond just me.
Yes.
But where that extends itself out to everybody and everything that I connect with, or that we connect with.
Yes.
So you can imagine that sort of creative process happening within a business, you,
yes,
know, within society, within the political world, that we would be constantly growing and changing and connecting with the possibilities.
That is lovely, and it's funny because that's what I've been articulating, what I've been thinking about, that it's still about growth, but people, the old idea was that growth had to be shown in quantitative terms like production or economy,
mm-hmm,
economic growth,
mm-hmm,
for each country, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, the thing that I'm getting into politically at the concept stage is creating human possibilities, a human development, because I love this idea that we have society has an imagination, that there is somewhere beyond the confines of progress as we have been seeing it, something something to get excited about.
Yes.
It's not like now we all have to be really grown up and cut back. And
you it's know, the opposite
yes.
of this austerity
yes.
mentality. It's completely
very opposite. Yeah.
The very opposite. Opposite. And you know, and I mean, it's so important that we're naming this.
Yes.
And it becomes part of the conversation. You
yes.
know, of this new way of being in the world, because austerity doesn't work, an
no.
austerity mindset, because it's all about loss and fear.
Absolutely.
And the fear of loss.
Yes. And self-denial.
And self-denial.
It's like, no, I'm sorry, cutting
exactly.
back now.
You know,
no more fun this week.
Yeah.
Or
God.
Next week.
Yeah, you know, you can't buy that chocolate bar. You know, so you can see how that, and we have seen.
Yes.
The last 6 years are just an amazing example
yes.
of what mindset that creates in a whole society.
Well, I noticed that Obama was talking to Enda Kenny
yes.
about Irish people. He was congratulating Ireland on its stoicism. And I thought, gosh, that is what we've created, a stoic,
yes.
all right then, it's going to get worse, it's only going to get worse.
Yes.
you know, yes. Zero imagination.
Yes.
It's literally survival mode.
Absolutely. And so how can we ever grow from such a place? You know,
yes.
we would be just so, this is enough. We'll just barely maintain ourselves. And God help those who can't even maintain themselves.
Yes.
So we start to look at people in a sense of the objective side.
Yes.
And in that process, and these are the policies that I've seen happening
yes.
across Europe in the last 6 years,
yes.
is that people become objects, and therefore we lose sight of the dignity of people.
Yes. And what everybody, each person is bringing to the party.
Exactly.
That doesn't even have any chance to express.
It has no chance. And so sort of the less powerful place or you're considered, the less value you're given. And so people are losing their homes and people are losing jobs, but it's a constant shift in mindset. Because, you know, you talk to companies and say, no, I couldn't employ people, I can't afford that. But hold on, what were you doing before this mindset happened?
Yes.
Weren't you creating? You know,
yes.
to see how it can suddenly shift from one to another.
Yes.
You know, suddenly people couldn't employ people. Suddenly people didn't have money to pay their bills. You know,
yes.
it seemed to be just something that shifted very, very, very quickly.
Yes.
Because it came in with a scarcity mentality.
Yes, which unfortunately was obviously ready to take back hold. We weren't that far evolved out of the scarcity mentality when
no.
it happened, I suppose.
No.
I remember
yes.
when I worked at home that we came to see that it only took 3 days on the street
yes.
to reduce people from any visioning work.
Yes.
Like, shall I go to college? Shall I upskill? Shall I try and find a place?
Yes.
It literally went into survival mode.
Yes.
I need is a blanket, see where I'm going to get some food today.
Yes.
That was literally it.
Yes.
And maybe an addiction, if it, you
yes.
know, feed that as well if that was going on. Literally only 3 days before any strategic planning stops.
Of course.
And on a grand scale, that is kind of what's happened with people with the recession. They've gone, sorry, we were friends, we were building a project and a business together, but I'm going to have to let you go.
Yes.
And every man for himself.
Yes.
And hating oneself for it and the guilt.
That's
you
right.
know, that laden
yes.
of it, lots of incapacitating low energies.
Absolutely, all from a low energy place. Or, you know, I was listening, you know, to suddenly employers wanted to sort of cut the cut in pay.
Yes.
You know, this negative, this suddenly cut.
Yes.
Austerity. And a complete lack of consciousness about how we do life. And of course, what we're talking about in the new paradigm, which is what I'm talking about in New Insights for Change,
yes, brilliant.
It's so very much the opposite, you know, where it has to be, it must be people, planet, and profit.
Mm.
It
in
must
priority
be.
Order.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And when we start taking it from that place again where we're considering our people and the dignity of people and the welfare of people and the wellness of people, and this is what a conscious business is all about.
Mm.
And we look at who we connect with, where we get our materials from, where people manufacture
yes.
the goods we use. So we look at the fair trade side of things.
Yes.
And we look at how environmentally conscious people are as a whole in who we're connecting with.
Lovely.
Through
yes.
our business.
Yes.
Like, this is really, really important. And so it extends itself way beyond corporate social, you know, corporate social responsibility. You know, you'll see it on many companies, but oh yes, we have a corporate social responsibility part.
Yeah. I can't remember what it is
and
now.
Then, and then, you know, but really, it's conscious, doing business consciously is far beyond social responsibility. It's a way of life, of how we do life.
Yes.
How we do business is how we do life.
And the lovely thing about that is that I've even noticed from my individual experience that things resolve themselves. Like, you solve
yes.
one problem and hundreds of others sort themselves out.
Yes.
So, like, for me going vegan, if I go into a supermarket, a whole lot of rubbish, processed foods, and you know, endless, you know, things that I don't want any part of, fall, they're not even in my remit anymore. You know, I can rule out things from my inquiry.
Exactly.
And it's the same with every area of life. If you start to choose your friends and colleagues carefully,
yes.
then you can bring love and respect and trust into the and harmlessness and good practice. It automatically comes to the table.
It does, and it is about good practice.
Mm.
I have a great belief that, you know, we have turned a corner in some respects, that people are doing that and looking at it, but we have an awful lot of work to do out there. And for me, this year, 2014, the whole theme of conscious leadership is so important, to be able to get in there and connect with people within the corporates, within education.
For example, you were working with... when you go in and work with businesses, will you look at specific what they're specifically dealing with, and look at ways that they can bring more consciousness to their staff, their teamwork, and their product?
Oh yes.
Production.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
And you know the strategies that they're using, and you know, I suppose we have to be quite concerned that we don't pull conscious business as a, you know, this is it now. It's like this concept we have of conscious business, because it isn't. It's constantly evolving.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So you look at the strategic. You talk in business terms, strategic management of things. You know, and how. But what are those strategies? What are they doing? And taking it back to those three areas again. What's happening with the people?
Mm.
How well are they being listened to, taken care of?
Yes.
You know, the wellness side of employees. You know, what's in place there? And you can get a sense of it when you talk to people, whether that exists or whether it doesn't.
Yeah, straight away.
Straight away, you know, sort of in the energy. And when you begin to look at that, then you begin to look at everything else that the company is involved in. And i.e. it's quite exciting, because you can look at, as I said to you there just briefly, you know, where people source the materials, where things are manufactured, the environmental understanding, so we take our planet in and what we're doing with it, and then we can look at profit. But you know something, Frances, the exciting thing is we can do good and do well.
That's what I was hoping that we could, because with business there is an idea of goals. And we want to almost elaborate on what these goals might be that can still be something to get excited about, as a, you know, for the managers, for the people who are looking at dividends for their, you know, investors, and or however that works. That we look, by looking at the individual and the process, that there's also goals, but those goals will be slightly different, won't they?
They're different, and it's not about goals.
Oh, great. Okay, I'll let that go.
It's about standards.
I like it.
And,
yes.
You know, and,
right.
I mean, there, if you think about that, and I think sometimes that sort of is the thing that drains energy away. Oh, gosh, we have to be setting this goal. It's like setting a New Year's resolution, you know. Yes. Oh, no, you know.
Just more and more aware of how you haven't made it yet.
Well, exactly.
Or got there yet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if we have a standard that we set, that we want the people that work with us and for us to be happy coming to work, that they feel that there's a holistic approach to how this business is operating, then people will come in happier. The productivity will increase. And it will. There's a great opportunity of expansion because people love what they're doing.
Yes.
And they want to be part of it, and they want to be there because they feel they're involved, they feel they're listened to, and their contribution is valued.
Mm.
Okay, so that's
massive.
Really
the main thing.
Huge, absolutely
yeah.
huge. So you can see how that can have a very positive knock-on effect for productivity,
yes.
for delivery of services. You know,
yes, absolutely.
You know, in business terms, we talk about competitive advantages, which I don't particularly like, but you know, that really does
yes.
give it because you're doing business differently, but you're doing life differently,
mm.
and we're respecting people differently. So it has to have an impact on how that business is operating
mm.
and running, because the fear is gone. We're not operating out of fear now. We're not afraid that we're going to lose out somewhere.
Yes.
We're building an energy and creating an energy from a new conscious place. And we extend that out then to those that we connect with, as I say, to other businesses. And we look and we say yes or we say no. If something doesn't, if it isn't right, we look somewhere else.
I love it. And
so
the almost the opposite of that, though, that I'm often juggling, is this understanding of personal responsibility. And
yeah.
I'm getting the feeling that you have... that personal responsibility is definitely a bit of part of what we are saying, that
yes.
everybody can participate.
Yes.
And to encourage everybody's empowerment to participate, to feel they are a contender, that they count. And that, how do you work with that? I mean, some people you can say, yes, I count because I'm on a big salary and I make some serious decisions around here. Some people say they don't count because they're only maybe the employee and they just have to go through the hoops that someone else has set for them on a daily working day.
Well, I mean, first of all, I suppose it does come back to the self, and this is where leaders really have, I suppose, a huge responsibility, you know, because everybody counts, of course, simply because they are
yes.
a person. And the roles we do, we're not measured or defined by the roles we do, as in the value we have.
Ah, let's just say that one more time.
We're not measured or defined by the roles that we have. You know, we are valuable simply because every person is so wonderfully unique.
Yes.
And the wonderful thing when this is taken into business in a conscious way is that supports the evolvement of that potential of each person.
Oh.
Because the contribution, of course, if I feel my value, if I feel my worth and if I feel my value is acknowledged and recognized, then I want to give more of myself, don't I?
Yes.
I want to expand that. And so that awareness takes on a new energy and a new life. And it brings in the new insights in how we operate. And of course, change happens in a very positive way.
Yes.
Because change is an interesting one. Change happens either negatively or positively. You know,
mm.
we think, oh, it's all changing. Isn't that all wonderful? But it doesn't necessarily mean it is.
No.
Because the ladder can be against the wrong wall.
Yeah. Oh.
Do you know that also?
I've never heard that before.
Yeah. Because we're building and we're climbing and we're climbing.
Yes.
But we realize at some stage the ladder is against the wrong wall.
Whoops.
And so we haven't been working towards what really is wholesome. And positive at the end of the day. So maybe we've got to rethink it. And maybe that's what's happening, you know, with companies. And this is an opportunity for them to look at it again in a whole new way of how they've been building and what they've been doing. And it isn't that everything is going to be pulled away. But, you know, sometimes when it is,
yes.
it's an interesting opportunity, you know. And I think I put something on the other day, the rock bottom. From rock bottom, I build a solid foundation.
Brilliant. Yes.
Because sometimes when we hit that rock bottom, it's an interesting foundation on which to build on.
Isn't it?
And so I'd be saying...
Because you've said all the illusion has fallen away.
Well, exactly.
But you're not disillusioned. You're like, okay,
yeah.
this is what I'm starting with.
But it does yeah. take courage, and it does, and it's a new mindset. So when we hit rock bottom, we have that choice of which way to go.
Yes.
You know, we can sit there and go down with that rock bottom, or we can actually begin to build. And sadly in Ireland, sadly in Europe, and perhaps the world that has been affected, the parts of the world that have been affected by this downturn, because let us remember today, because we can be very arrogant in the West, and we can talk about this downturn as being, oh gosh, look what's happened in the world, and forget
that there's 2 million in Somalia.
That there's billions
homeless,
who have
terrified.
Nothing all the time.
Yeah.
Yes. And they didn't wait for this crisis of 2008.
Yeah.
They never had.
Yes.
It wasn't part of their experience.
No.
And so 10 million children die a year of hunger and dysentery and dirty water.
Yes.
And that's a shocking, shocking reality.
Yes.
That happens our world. So let us not, you know, I would never want to come across with this arrogant Western attitude.
What's going on?
Oh, look how dreadful it is, you know, and if we sort all of this, because, you know, it's like policy within Europe, EU policies, and I mean, you know, part of my knowledge, I suppose, my understanding, is that if I make a policy, a European policy, how does that impact on somebody in third world countries?
Absolutely.
You know, if I make an agricultural policy, or if I make some policy being made, how does that affect the poor farmer in Guatemala?
Absolutely.
So we have to be conscious of that as we're going forward as well, and be part of building those sorts of programs.
Well, I think
across the world.
I mean, I think Ireland's in a very strong position.
Yeah.
If we can wield our each person's personal influence.
Yeah.
For example, the fracking, which is,
yes,
you know, very specifically a water contamination.
Yes.
If we could share, you know, have water as our export, you know, the fact that we have so much clean water, water that can be harvested, and that is a such a vital and missing ingredient, even from places as close as Spain or.
Yes.
You know, that are constantly in places that are constantly in drought.
Yeah.
So I would love to, in a way, do you think that we can, from our own vantage point, each person from their own vantage point, have an impact on the people who are still trying to make big money and big environmental problematic businesses successful? How do we interact, do you think, with
Well,
that?
I think we can, but okay, we have a journey there to make, you know, but I mean, what we're doing every day individually is equally important.
Yes.
And now to make that step across into the people that are making these major decisions, that does take conversations like this.
Yes, yes.
That we're naming it, and that we're not so caught up in the low energy conversations, bemoaning our state and our fate.
Yes.
While other people are continuing on their grand scheme of things.
Right. Yeah, regardless.
You know, regardless.
Yeah.
Because sadly, that is what happened. That's how disjointed it actually is.
Mm.
And every time we sort of gather in groups and we bemoan our state and our fate and we think, oh, how awful it is and how unjust and unfair it is.
Mm.
But we never look at solutions.
No.
We always talk about the problems.
Yes.
We are giving, we're encouraging almost, or aiding and abetting,
yes,
people that are making these terrible decisions to continue making them. And we're never bridging the gap.
No.
Across.
So is that what we're doing today?
We're bridging the gap.
Praise the Lord.
We're building bridges,
yes,
as we're having this conversation.
And I'm hearing the word, I've just heard the two sort of tenses in a sense,
yeah,
regardless and self-regard, as almost the two things that, because it's funny because As you're saying, that some people are waltzing on regardless.
Yes.
And the problem seems to be a lack of self-regard. And you were saying before about how to help, especially people in Ireland,
yes,
to differentiate between a healthy self-regard and awareness of what we each are creating and how valuable each energy is, and selfishness, because that wrestle is always going on. How would you describe the difference?
Yes, that's right. I mean, again, I suppose in Ireland and perhaps other countries, but I can talk primarily from sort of being brought up here in Ireland, and that whole thing of selfishness, because we were thought, gosh, to be selfish is a terrible thing, you know.
Or desperate.
And shame and guilt, you know, on you, you know, if you're thinking about yourself. And so people were thought to think about anybody else but themselves.
Yes.
And, you know, I know when I talk to people, our clients come and they talk about, you know, gosh, if I say, hey, you know, you've got to start valuing yourself here, hold on, you know, you are the most important person. Let's start with that. And they think, oh, that's very self-centered.
Mm.
And then I say to them, hold on, let's turn that around and let's talk about being at the center of yourself, which is very, very different. Because if we're not operating from our own center, Where are we? We're caught, or we have somebody else or something else that's in the center of our lives.
Yes.
Well, then that's where all the power is.
Yes. And if that's a vortex, like, you know, like a low energy, you know, a place of work or a depressed partner.
Well, exactly.
Or whatever it is, it's a plug hole.
Exactly.
For any good that you could.
Well, it's draining away, and so that's where the power is. So people are giving their power to a business, or to a company, or to a relationship which isn't working, or to children, you know, all-consuming, who are demanding. So it works right from that personal experiences right out there to the wider world. So we can see when we begin to live consciously and begin to live and work from center, with conscious awareness, with intuitive awareness, the opportunity that has to expand and extend itself out there.
Brilliant.
In an amazing way. And I suppose just thinking of how the approach and the shift in approach is, that a lot of the time, even companies, businesses, politics, it all comes from an analytical place. So from the head. And so we talk about it as being analytical awareness.
Mm.
And we think that's it. We have an analyzed now. We have a soft.
Uh-oh, yes. It's so small, so narrow.
It's so narrow.
Yeah.
The other side, quite opposite of that, is intuitive awareness.
Mm.
Because that's coming from a centered, grounded place. That's coming from the more of ourselves out there.
Yeah.
And I suppose when we talk about that, then we're connecting to energy in a very, very interesting way.
And the thing about energy is that, for me, my understanding of oneness is that one can draw on all of nature and its beauty and its infinite organizing power and everything that's gone before in history. You can pull solutions and ideas out of the ether, as opposed to out of the sum of your knowledge.
Well, yes. And, you know, I mean, it's like left, right brain, you know, which one are we operating out of at any given time?
Yes.
And I suppose we need both, but which is the one which is the most dominant, you know, at any given time? And it tells us a great deal about where we're coming from.
It really does. And when it's funny because you use two explanations. One is social, one is conscious awareness, and one is intuitive awareness.
Yes.
And one thing I've struggled with conscious awareness is it can be quite overwhelming. As you become more conscious, it's like, gosh, the cruelty, the misuse, or the injustice. It's a lot of information you're allowing through.
Yes.
And you can think good reason to try to block some of it out, or to get angry and do something about it.
Mm.
And I suppose what you're saying is the next step from that conscious awareness, so that you're the expanding what you're actually conscious of, is including intuitive awareness into it, so that you're not stuck trying to process more with the narrow vessel that you've explored so far. You're expanding to allow solutions to that the problems you're becoming aware of.
You are, but you're coming from a grounded place and centered place yourself.
Mm.
And so often I meet people who are on the journey of out there, you know, I want to save the world.
Yes.
And I understand this. I come from with t-shirts of those myself. you know, and you walk through a city and you feel completely overwhelmed with the issues, because any of us who are quite sane who carry that sensitivity, we pick up a lot of things as we go about life and every day.
Absolutely.
And that is incredibly exhausting.
Yes.
And incredibly overwhelming. And I suppose these days I see it differently, in the sense that it starts with me and then it extends out to my closest, my nearest and my dearest.
Brilliant.
And my loved ones.
Ah.
And are they okay?
Yes.
Because if I'm jumping across that to try and save somebody else in some other part of the world, then I'm missing something.
Yes.
I'm not consciously aware at all.
No.
I'm playing at it.
Yes.
You know, so...
Or you're denying your own...
Exactly.
Existence.
Completely
itself.
Denial of yourself and those closest around
yes.
you. And so we start with that, and then we can extend it out there.
So there is
so
an
it's
idea
very different.
Of, yes, it's very different. And it's and so you've had to probably help clients and businesses think, develop and or cultivate an understanding of what nurturing might be, you know,
yes.
taking care of.
Yes.
So that's quite an undeveloped idea. We
yes.
we say, right, we you know, try and take care of your physical needs and maybe emotional needs, although that's not very well developed for many people.
Mm.
It can be a bit complicated by the low energies of guilt and loyalties and everything
yes.
else.
Yes.
I think it's really interesting to work with people and to try and help cultivate a more subtle understanding of how you can take care of this more holistic approach and the
yes.
people within it.
Yes, and it becomes very much part of a way of how we do things.
Mm.
It's back to the standards
yes.
that we were talking about,
yes.
you know, that if something is totally unethical, if, say, we can source a material
yes.
from a particular source or from a place where it's manufactured with child labour, you know, it brings all of this in.
Yes.
Then we say, no.
Yeah.
As a company, we do not, we have a standard.
We do not
go there.
Yeah.
We are not part of that energy.
Yes.
And so it takes that kind of decision making. But it's very interesting. And I mean, what I find sometimes is that people are kind of going along their merry way in many ways. And when they begin to look at it, they think, oh my goodness. If I had been aware of that, I would have made different decisions.
Yes.
So it's very exciting.
Yes.
And it isn't that suddenly all the sources are cut away, you know. There is other places we can go.
Yes.
And it's very interesting. People say, you know, gosh, yeah, maybe I can engage more with fair trade. I can begin to source other materials in another way. And it doesn't mean even that it's even a lot of the time more expensive.
No.
It's that they weren't looking further than what they were used to connecting with and being part of. But
yes.
it really does open up amazing doors
it
and
really
opportunities
does.
And
yes.
possibilities. So we're working with healing the planet and the environment, and all of it comes into play.
Yes.
You know, and we're just doing it because we're running a little business, consciously.
Yes.
You know, it's very exciting.
It's a building block as well.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and we're beginning to recognize the interconnectedness of everything.
Mm.
That because I do this, it has this impact on this over here.
Lovely.
In another part
yes.
of the world. Somebody's life is changed.
And sometimes that could be even strengthened as the process goes on through an intention. So first of all, you might have the intention to no longer participate in unhealthy practices.
Exactly.
And then it can be further kind of bolstered by yes. setting an intention to actually help, you know, make a conscious ripple effect to
yes.
the rest of
well, yes, and you know, and that's it. But if you just take somebody today or a group of people today that are running a company or a smaller business, whatever, but they just start making conscious decisions about what they're purchasing, you know, who they're connecting with in doing business.
Mm.
You can imagine, you know, I think it was Gandhi that said, if everybody swept in front of their own door, the whole world would be clean.
Woo! I love
so
it, yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
That
we sort
really
of
nice.
Don't
yeah.
have to go, you know, to the other side of the world, starting to create all of these changes.
Yes.
That we start where we are.
I think
that's what we're doing.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And that comes back to presence here, to being aware of where you are in your own life as well.
Yeah.
But I was going to ask, I know it's a bit of a launch to the other side of the world or to politics, but in terms of you interacting with the world and through your work, I love the idea, and I've done a lot with my divining, the use of the pendulum,
yeah,
just to bypass my brain, bypass the sum of my parts,
yeah,
and say, what needs to happen here? And just a couple of ideas, allow a couple of ideas, do a bit of clearing to allow a couple of ideas in that might not have previously occurred to me. You're kind of creating a gap between thoughts for something else to come in.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, I know that's what needs to happen. That's a great idea. And I follow my intuition. Yeah, I'm delighted to follow my intuition.
Great.
It doesn't bother me at all.
Great.
Now, when I've tried it on other people
right,
who are responsible for 200 star, 50 yes, million quid,
yes. Yes.
They weren't sure that intuition was a valid foundation when they come from an old paradigm,
right,
that you need provable facts and figures that are going to say this solution is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I've dismantled, I like to think, and continue to dismantle so much of the structure that holds my limited self,
yes,
in place, that I can just dip in and see what needs to happen,
mm-hmm,
and flow with it, take then actions as a result. And mm-hmm, I think that's what you'd,
yes,
love people to do. But
yes,
how do you help people? Do you do it sort of on the quiet? say, for example, if we did talk about the homeless.
Yes.
If you tuned in and got that every homeless person should be given a house back, you know, an apartment back, something like that, because there's enough to go around,
mm,
plus a small subsidy to cover electricity, and an hour a week with an advocate to support their re-establishment in what they're doing and their participation in society, something like that.
Mm.
And you, out of thin air, you got a yes to those three aspects.
Mm.
Would you waltz off anywhere with that idea and suggest it to people? Or would you say, oh, no? when you have a flash.
Look, I mean, I believe greatly in synchronicities as well, and, you know, I think it's sometimes it's like the lighthouse. It doesn't go searching for boats to save. It simply stands there, shining brightly enough to guide them. And I think sometimes we can get on a hamster wheel very quickly with anything, with a great idea, and think, I'm going out there to the highways and byways, and I'm going to tell everybody how they can change their lives, you know.
Brilliant.
I mean, that's arrogant, really, you know. And but I think it's how we begin to live. And I know, and I think you'll know from working with energy, it brings interesting things into our lives.
Mm.
And I suppose I'm talking about the law of attraction, but not in that, you know, caught up cliched law of attraction thing.
Yes.
But that we do attract into our lives, you know, where we're coming from ourselves. And
yes,
so it isn't instantly having to rush out to the highways and byways. Having said that, it will no doubt put along my path people that can connect this somewhere else. And I saw that in the last few years of not chasing something and suddenly, you know, being requested to talk or to do something with people on a bigger scale.
Mm.
For example, Rights and Humanity would be a very close thing to my heart, of the whole area of Rights and Humanity.
Yeah.
And you know, having that thought and that sense of wanting to make a difference, and then suddenly being asked to be part of making a difference.
Yes.
As a social entrepreneur or a spiritual entrepreneur. And leading life in that way.
Yes.
But that came in.
Yes.
You know, those opportunities come in as well. So often I think we have to be grounded rather than rushing off there, because it can become very... it does bring us to the people.
Yes.
Now, that doesn't mean...
Yeah.
That you don't sit down and write a letter or, you know, get
somebody
a
who might.
Exactly.
something.
Of course, it's practical. It's very practical as well. But it does mean when we begin to live, it becomes who we are, not what we're doing. I think there's a huge difference in that in conscious living as well.
Yes.
We seem to create in the people that support that way of being and way
yes.
of living as well. So it brings us to, I mean, I've met people out there who are doing very interesting things in the world,
yes.
around the world. But then I'm ready for that in me, and that's very exciting as well, you know.
It is very exciting. I love the, I mean, it was very interesting because on a kind of slightly removed level, I was just looking in the golden pages, you know, the directory for a number for the local tip. And what I've written my blog about this morning, that morning, was about how does anybody know how to get rid of chemicals successfully? You know, we've created so much
yes.
non-biodegradable stuff.
Yes.
How, you know, somebody maybe knows how to get rid of this stuff safely.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe as I was looking at, you know, for the number for the tip, I was like, chemical disposal experts over in Galway. And I was like, oh, they're the people I was looking for this morning.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the
yeah.
same with the, in terms of attracting people, yeah. I've always been very interested in that I think up until now our mental energy and the polarity of mental energy has ruled the roost.
Yeah.
And I would hope to bring people into their heart energy and the
yes.
whole massive function that can
yes.
do.
Absolutely.
That kind of transcends polarity.
Yeah.
I had people come to stay who have the mental health. I had somebody come to stay last year who was actually head of the strategic committee for, you know, they started closing down mental institutions and trying to
yes.
rehabilitate people back into
communities. Yeah.
yeah. He was in charge of that strategic.
Okay.
So I do totally agree that I really love the lighthouse metaphor.
Change your mind, change your hair, change the clothes that you wear, call yourself by a different name, change your job, be a clown.
Thank you.
And how do you balance the mixture of insight, action?
Well, that's interesting because, I mean, we can have these wonderful thoughts.
Mm.
But then how do we put them into place? How do we implement them?
Yes.
You know, and that's the one. And again, every day, okay, I mean, for me, it's having a visual presence in what I'm doing. And those things, synchronicities are amazing. And it's using those opportunities.
Yes.
It's using them because so often we can see it. So something ceases just to be an idea. And it begins to gather itself with an energy that can takes it into an action. But conscious living is all about that. Okay, the ideas come in and we allow them time. And I think so often I say to people as well who have new ideas, we're so often so anxious to get them out there.
Hang on a minute, is that a mutual a conflict in interest right now?
That we don't breathe, we don't breathe into them.
Yes.
We don't allow them to seed themselves in the soil that they need. Because it's like if we're out here today and we plant a seed, it won't be a rose bush tomorrow. It won't be. And people get terribly, terribly disappointed because they have amazing ideas. And they want to go out there and they share it. And so even that in the sharing, somebody whips their idea and it's sort of taken off into another place.
Yeah.
And so they get disillusioned all the way. So to nurture those seeds for a little while, you know, to love them, to give them space, to grow.
That's a lovely idea.
Which
is
important.
That's what you'd say. So if I was listening in now and I was thinking about how can I live more consciously now, it's... One of the things you'd say is to think about my ideas and to value them just as they are.
Yes.
And
yes.
Give them a bit of room to...
Yes, because they need the space to grow.
Mm.
And they need nurturing, just like we take a seed and we feed it and we water it and we give it time.
Yes.
And, you know, again, it's like take a company. I take it as the metaphor for a plant. Because I love working with plants. I'm a gardener, the other side of me. But something then becomes pot-bound.
Yes.
It grows, and we have it in a certain space. And we try and keep working from that space. But it's pot-bound.
Mm.
So what happens with a pot-bound plant? The roots start to grow up on itself. And that's what's happened to our companies, it's what happened to our societies, it's what happened to our financial systems, it's what happens in our education systems, it's happened in our political systems for centuries.
Yes.
They're pot-bound.
Yes. That's so interesting.
So we must take them out and plant them in new ground.
Yes.
To give them space to change again and to expand.
And it's funny because I did a horticulture course and I did notice a fear of repotting.
Yes.
You know, it seems possibly vulnerability in taking out of one of the pots whether it would really succeed in a slightly bigger pot or whether even the handling of the transition might be too, not necessarily ham-fisted, but inexpert.
Mm.
I mean, that's another part, I suppose, of your work is to help a transition, isn't it? From
majorly.
Yeah.
Of course it is. But, I mean, that's where new insights can occur, when we give that space and opportunity and that nurturing. And when we recognise, and that's where intuitive awareness comes into play, that's where conscious awareness comes into play, that suddenly we begin to know, we begin to sense when something's pot-bound.
Yes.
And we don't try and do the same things that we always did because we know what happens. We'll always get what we always got. But so often that's what people are doing. They're doing it in their own lives. They're doing it within their businesses. They're doing it within the political world because they're staying within that very tight, closed, narrow
identity of who they are.
Yes.
Yes.
And familiarity.
Mm.
Even if it's strangling them.
Yes.
But sadly, for the leaders in Europe, for the leaders in the world at the moment, what they're doing is they're expecting or demanding or imposing a pot-bound situation on the people that they're leading. and they're refusing to take themselves out into new ground.
Yeah, into new ground.
So rather than create something new and a new paradigm, they're insisting and imposing that we live within a pot-bound situation, which is austerity.
Yes.
Which is something that's growing up like those roots on top of itself and killing itself.
Yes.
That's why our economies are not growing.
Yes.
Because they're pot-bound.
It's funny you say, that is a lovely analogy, and it's funny you say about, the fear, but I have a friend, he's the brother of the architect of Harmony Hall, and there were 75 of us, all energy workers, went to Vietnam for a month, and it was a great, great experience. But basically, anybody was going through anything, it was memory, it was a trauma, it was a loss, it was an insight, he'd just be like, fear of change. That's all that is, fear of change. And I said in this fantastic matter-of-fact voice, and that was his confusion about everything. But it's going to be interesting to get people to take risks. I mean, because almost it takes for the pot to be smashed.
Yes. But the interesting thing is, as we know again, if we take it from a plant, the pot will eventually be smashed by the roots. As it grows up outside of itself, it strangles itself, but it crushes and breaks the pot in the process.
Would it be strong enough?
And yes. Yes.
Oh, praise the Lord.
I've had earthenware pots that cracked completely from that. I've seen that happen.
Yes.
So it's the same. So that's what will happen.
Emotionally, the process, these people, you know, for everybody, They're trying to go through the motions. What they learned, they're trying to get their job in it, or they're successful in it, or they're not necessarily thinking about their emotional response. But I think it's a lot down to your emotional response, how you handle these decisions. So it's like the decision to jump out of the pot or transplant your business or whatever in a new ground. It requires an emotional choice and motivation. What I think is that you have to somehow dismantle or unravel the fear that is wrapped around all these ideas so that people can get some sort of neutrality about the decisions they're making, some sort of neutrality about risk-taking, and also to get some sort of objective distance decisions they're making. Because what you've described there and what I found as well is that people are so identified with what they're doing, they actually feel like they're potentially throwing themselves out of the context, or out of then they'll be no longer themselves if they transplant somewhere else.
Well, that's a fear. That's a huge fear. It's a huge fear for us as individuals because we're afraid of change, as we said. But if you take that in context of somebody who's leading a country or a government, and this pot-bound situation is happening. Now, you know, they have a major responsibility because that's happening to a lot of people. Our decisions being made in a major company, for example, is affecting thousands of people's lives.
Yes.
And so, you know, they need to be very conscious of the decisions that they're making and where they're coming from that emotional place and be quite secure. And so many are not.
No.
But however, they still yield a huge power to make or break lives. As we've seen, you know, the housing crisis, for example, is just one example of that, where people are losing their homes or people have lost their jobs because of very unconscious decisions and very emotionally fearful decisions that were made because perhaps the leader doesn't want to lose face.
Yes.
They make a decision.
Yeah, totally.
That affects thousands of people's lives. And so we really need to be looking at this in conscious leadership in a major way. And it goes right across the board. And I mean, that is a lot of work that needs to be done.
Yes.
But we need to be having these kinds of conversations.
Definitely.
So anybody listening who wants to talk to me about this, I'd be delighted, you know, to have that conversation with the companies or with any politician who's listening or whatever.
Would you just say how to contact you? Email or?
Yes, they can email me at Bernadette@newinsightsforchange.com or talk to me at newinsightsforchange.com.
Lovely. Well, that's absolutely great. And I see that you have cards with you. I don't know if you'd like to, but do perhaps a reading for, well, maybe you've already know to describe part of what you do is our readings.
I do intuitive readings.
Yes.
I mean, coming from a clairvoyance, which is simply clear seeing. Okay.
Clear seeing.
there's a lot of stuff bandied around about
that.
Huge. And then talk about that being something I am, not something I do. You know, working with the intuitive all of my life. So bringing it into business, bringing it into my social work, my social policy areas, or whatever, and reading for people. But reading for life and who they are and what it's about and their potential is very exciting
People. Yeah.
And then how that can be applied in everyday life, you know, is very exciting. So working with the intuitive. So, this is my little cards that I... set of cards that I use, but they simply are about a validation as much as anything else. Do you like to take one?
Absolutely love to take one.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. You have a lovely hello from the higher realms. Okay. And those that are doing well and no worries and feelings and lovings and blessings. So we have an energy, and I mean, that's the other side, and I suppose we could have another conversation at another stage about that, that we're not alone, that we have, you know, the energies that are there, out there, taking care of us as well. And it's not fluffy bunny, it's very real. And
do you think you're talking about there that ancestors, God, you know, angelic intervention, intergalactic, is there any end to the guides that... might be saying.
Well, I don't think there's any end to it, you know.
No.
and I love the ancestral link. It's really, you know, when we kind of maybe look in the mirror and say, who am I? You know, I might be looking really at a huge similarity of my great grandmother's face, you know,
yes.
And an energy and all the genetics and the DNA and all the bits that I'm made up of, you know. All the gene pools that I come from and through, and those energies that have gone on. And I suppose in my own, that other side work would be, know that the veil is very thin between this world and the next as well. And but when we tune into that, and it's not separate from the conversation we've been having.
No.
It's about being consciously aware of that extra side of us and that incredible intuitive side, which I mentioned, you know, if we turn it up,
yes.
We can get major guidance because... I suppose that the essence around new insights for change is intuitive guidance for holistic living. And it is that, but supporting other people to find it and connect to it as well.
Absolutely.
So it's very, very exciting. So we do have that. So you've got a lovely hello and connection today from those that have gone on and from your ancestor line, reassuring you that they're right there alongside you, supporting you every day.
Well, I feel that as well, and I have my grandfather's bust over there.
Ah.
And he, I've often got
I looked
this,
at that
yes,
earlier.
And he was a minister and a conscientious objector in the Second World War.
Right. Wow.
And he spoke every day in German to the people of Germany to say what was happening in their name. And it was he was a Don at Oxford. Very lovely writing. He wrote lots of books like Religion for the Skeptic and Religion for the Agnostic. Anybody with doubts and faith. And
how amazing.
Great character. And I only knew him until I was six, but I often feel his presence around. And yeah. I know several people and clients have said to me, what a shame it is for them that they haven't got a family that... is so rich textured, you know, in terms of, because a lot of people come from a very stark background. They struggle to cultivate the subtle energies of hope and creativity and gardening and nurture because they haven't got that foundation.
That's right.
I hope that that people will be able to realise that we've all got everything to play with. We've all got the whole spectrum of energy, the spectrum of history and the spectrum
We do. You know, the blueprint is there. And I think, you know, I in my level of my own conscious awareness, like, gosh, I think, gosh, I have an insight into it, and I get deeper insights into it and with the work. But out there, I need that bit of support sometimes.
Yes.
You know, to call on the ancestral link, to call on the guides, and to say, you know, you guys have the blueprint. You know, you've got the blueprint. You know, you can help me with this. And
because there's no veil, is that right, between them and the blueprint? Is that,
yeah,
they are the blueprint?
Exactly.
Or? Yes.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh, so, brilliant.
So they have that absolute awareness, and I love that. And I think we can make that lovely connection and get the insight we need or the support we need through that.
And do you think, can we, would that reading, that card that I picked there,
yeah,
have a bearing on the bigger picture realities we've talked about, for example, the care of the environment and the climate, or the homeless and the dereliction energy? Or is that just me, or when you're reading, do you sometimes apply yourself to the particular and sometimes the general, or?
Well, it extends. I mean, it's a person, isn't it? You know, I mean, somebody comes in with their energy, whatever is there. But of course it takes itself out and expands.
Yes.
And that's very exciting, and given on what somebody's doing. Or then it can come with an issue that comes in particularly, and it works with that.
Yes.
And it brings awareness to that, and insight to that. And it's channeled in that respect.
Yes.
But I suppose the key thing is in reading or in doing what I'm doing, is getting out of my own way and letting that happen.
Yes.
So it's not being restricted by my take on it in that way, you know. And that's really, really exciting as well, because then we allow the insight to flow for whoever it is that I'm connecting with, or whatever the business is, or whatever it is.
So let's do one for the homeless situation. See if I think there is an energy, as you've talked about a scarcity worry, we've talked about a survival mode and an austerity and to break through to the hope and the self-valuing and the plethora of possibilities there are beyond. Oh, lovely.
We've got the counsellor, which is the natural counsellor, and the guidance, and that many people benefit from the guidance and reassurance.
That is what's needed, a supportive, guiding.
It is. It's a support that's needed, and sometimes we need that, and people need it, and people, come on, you know, if you're homeless, and homelessness, of course, comes in many forms. You know, people can be living in with in-laws, or they can be in a B&B somewhere, you know, that's been paid for by the state, or they could be, it doesn't necessarily mean that I haven't got a roof over my head.
No.
It means I haven't a place that I can call home.
No.
And I think that's very important as well, you know, that we look at it like that, so that there is that ability that people can benefit from guidance and reassurance, and that, I suppose, gives me a great affirmation of the work today as well, and what you're doing, you know, and what we're doing out there in the world, that yes, people need that support and reassurance.
Yes.
And yes, there is great benefit that people can gain from it.
And
it's very important.
Yes, I love that, and it also is an affirmation from how the particular can expand, because I've always seen homelessness, now I think of it, as like an external version of the alienation that everybody experiences, a lack of sense of belonging or having a home or belonging wherever they are.
Exactly. And, yeah, absolutely.
And the counselling is so crucial to bring, as you said, the value back to...
Well, it is. It's that reassurance again.
Yes.
Because of anything at the moment in the world, and with what's happening, you know, in Europe, and here in Ireland, is that people need hope.
Yes.
They need something to believe in. And like that, you know, I talk about, and it wasn't just me that talks about it, but many people have, that when we have a reason why, we can deal with just about any how.
Oh, yes. Because I love that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when we have a reason why to live for.
Yes.
We can deal with the challenges.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, the difficulties and all of the things that come with the how.
Yes.
To do it.
Give an example of that. Are you thinking in terms of, for example, somebody who doesn't feel like they belong? they if they get the why of why they might be here on the planet at this time, feeling this dark experience, it might be a catalyst for the change that's needed.
Well, absolutely. You know, and I suppose I've seen it in people's lives, and I've seen it. For example, you know, I worked a lot with. I co-founded a project for young mothers, young teenage mothers, to remain in education, the first in Ireland, and so that was, you know, suddenly people finding, hey, there's a reason why, and it wasn't just the child was the reason why, but there was a reason why.
Yes.
There was a new sense about why we do life. So people went and stayed in education. And it was just an interesting example of, well, I want more for my children. You know, so there was that why. So they could deal with anyhow. They could deal with the study and the baby and
coordination
and the travelling and time and, you know, all that went with it because they had a why to live for. And that's just an example of just some of the work, you know, that I've been involved in. But so we can, but if we've lost the why. And the interesting thing is we see it not just within people that have lost homes or are homeless, but we see it right across the world. I mean, suicide is a major problem at the moment, and it's not a respecter of financial either, material.
No.
It's deeper than. It's that reason why we exist and our purpose.
And I totally agree. I mean, it's even come up in for a client today. And across the board, this. Well, I often refer to this something I heard, and as you know, I don't. I can never remember the exact source of where I find bits of information, and I might not remember things accurately. But it was said that in the past, the main source of death was soul loss.
Yes.
And now in recent medical books, that wouldn't even register. Mm. Yeah, it would be one or other disease probably, or suicide.
Mm.
But the soul loss was for a long time considered the thing, and that seems to be a loss of the why.
The loss of the why, and when we talk about loss of heart, I've lost heart in something.
Yes.
You know, and that's the essence. So it's the loss of the why. So if we can help people to see the why, then they can deal with the how. And maybe in essence that's what I'm doing, a new insights for change in whatever people are doing in their individual lives, within their business life, you know, or wherever that extends itself out there into making world changes, is that if we now have the why to do it differently, to live consciously, now we can deal with the how we need to put that into place and the things that we have to do.
Well, thank you so much. I love that clarity. And so in terms of ways that we can interact with you, or you're interacting with the world, or the whole thing is coming together, you might be interested in going into politics. Did you say that in the past?
That's been bandied
no
about
pressure.
For years.
I'm voting for you anyway.
Since a very young child.
Oh, really?
I don't know. And I mean, I think sometimes, you know, that maybe I'm sort of better taking it another route than just into the political side. But certainly going in and working with people within political systems to look at how we can do things differently and excitingly and marvelously differently. You know, and that we can begin to start rebuilding, because we are still firefighting.
Yes.
We're still firefighting out of this economic downturn. And terrible decisions have been made in the process. And people's lives have been desperately, desperately impacted on in a negative way because of it, because of that pot-bound mentality.
Yes.
And we need to change and shift that. So, you know, wherever I can go, to be part of creating this new paradigm along with other people.
And
delighted
to go back
to
the other analogy of the pebble in the pond.
Yes.
I'd encourage people to, if you are in a business, that you might not be the number one mover and a shaker for where that business is going. You might feel like a cog in the wheel. A conscious communication with you will lead to a ripple effect throughout the business, because because of your own participation, but also feel how the shift in your own energy changes your environment.
It does, doesn't it? It has an impact, and I mean, but like everything else, it either sort of integrates. We have that capacity to be part of it, as long as we're ensuring that we're maintaining our own well-being and our own sense of wellness in the process, and that we don't lose sight of that.
That's almost the first thing that might happen, I imagine. Is
In essence, it has to be the first thing that happens.
Well, well,
and then let's see where it goes, you know. But it is exciting, and so may people get this reassurance today and this hope, and to connect back into their own power center, and the amazing, amazing, amazing people, individuals that we are, and our uniqueness in that respect. And to begin to take that way, in that understanding, that insight, into a way of how we live consciously every day in everything we do, in all the relations that we have in every area of our lives.
Lovely. Lovely. Well, I'm just going to have to pause to mull that over for a minute, but and I'm sure everyone else will as well. Thank you so very much. So just to check, we can contact you at insightsforchange.com.
New Insights.
Newinsightsforchange.com.
Newinsightsforchange.com, and people can email me.
And it can also, you can also work via Skype.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the beauty, the wonderful thing of new technologies, is that it's worldwide.
Brilliant.
And if people want to have sessions re-Skype and via Skype and whatever, that's there.
Well, it was lovely to see you in person here, so that's
been
a huge
treat. Thank you very much. It's been absolutely lovely. Thank you.
Thank you. Lots of love.
On in wonder as a child, and love flowed like a river deep inside, deep inside,
deep inside. Deep inside,
yeah, love flows like a river deep.